But I just really trust that we can all work together, be led of the Lord this weekend, and that the Lord's will can be accomplished in our congregation. So again, thank you all for coming, and I look forward to working with you over the next couple of days. I do have one announcement I'd like to make before I forget. Luetta has asked for a meeting with the Dorcas sisters afterwards. We will try to remind you again as we dismiss, but I wanted to say it now before I forgot completely. So, where do you want to meet? Over here in the Father's room. So, keep that in mind. I'd like to read Psalm 103 tonight, Psalm 103. I'm not planning to make any comments on it, but as I was thinking about what to share tonight, this came to me, and I just thought it was a fitting psalm. Maybe I'll ask you to stand. Let's stand as we read. I think there's some value in standing as we read the Word of the Lord. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm going to ask you to remain standing for prayer. I want to thank Todd and Terry for coming to help with this weekend. Again, I'm looking forward to working with them and you. Terry, if you'd come. And I don't know what Terry's going to share tonight, but I'll tell you one thing he will have is a pen in his hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time we can be together. Lord, I pray that You would move in our hearts here tonight, this weekend. I pray, Lord, that You would just guide our thoughts, guide our feelings, our decisions, Lord. I pray that You would bless Terry as he ministers to us, Lord. I pray for his that You would fill him with Your Spirit, that You would just use him as a channel tonight, Lord, that You would flow through him to us. Open our eyes and our ears that we can hear and that we can see what You have for us. We bless You, Lord. We thank You and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Good evening. It's a blessing to be here. And I'm not for sure why Dana brought that up, but a while back, we have a a younger son that was too old to still be sucking his thumb at night in bed. And I said, why would someone want to suck their thumb in bed at that age? I was told probably the same reason why a preacher likes a pen in his hand. So, yeah. So, well, thank you for coming out tonight. And I thought maybe before we begin the message, I know we were just standing, but let's just stand again. And let's prayerfully sing, "There is coming a day." All right? Let's prayerfully just worship the Lord, because we are looking forward to that day.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saves me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Father, tonight we come before You and we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the blood. We thank You that You are in control. And we just want to give You the honor and the glory, for You alone are worthy. Lord, tonight as I give a message from You, Lord, I pray that I would not take the battle on myself, but that the battle would be Yours. So God, we give it to You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Take your Bibles for a moment and turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. And I want to read a few verses. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in these verses, but it says, Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn you away from your captivity." I love those verses where that blessed promise that God says, if we seek Him, we will find Him. And tonight, as we go through this weekend, you are looking to choose a leader. And I believe tonight that when we are leaders for God, that we need to seek God with all of our heart. We live in a time and we live in a day where there is a lot of gray areas, we say. You know, and sometimes questions come up that a few years ago we wouldn't even have thought of. A little while back, I was at a nursing home with a brother, had been an older man who had started coming to our church, and I was having a Bible study with him there. And as we was having this Bible study, he had asked some other people to come join, and we were sharing about some things. And I made this basic statement. I said that Jesus Christ is the only way. And I got confronted for that. A lady there in a wheelchair afterwards, she said, "I did not appreciate how you said that Jesus Christ is the only way." She said, "My parents were good people." And I think what she was saying was they didn't believe that way. And she said, "I believe that they made it." She said, "I did not appreciate that statement." I said, well, ma'am, I said, I don't know if I called her ma'am, but I said, you know, I did not know your parents. I cannot make a judgment for your parents, but I said, I do know that your parents are in the hands of a just God, and He will judge rightly. But you know, sometimes those statements that years ago we would never have thought is now bringing confrontation. The simple thought of Jesus Christ being the only way. You know, and as I look at the society around us and all and how everything is going, it makes you wonder, you know, how long can all of this go on? A while back I was somewhere for revival meetings and I was doing some studying in the bedroom. And I had some heavy things on my heart that I felt that the Lord wanted me to share. And so I said, Lord, would you give me an illustration in how to share this tonight? And so the Lord gave me a beautiful illustration that really fit with what I was trying to share that night. And here's what that illustration was. I was sitting there in that bedroom. I believe it was in Georgia. And I was sitting there in that bedroom, and there was a pesty fly in that bedroom, and I could not kill that thing. I tried. It wasn't because I didn't try. I told him, I said, we can't both exist in this room. I said, one of us is going to have to go. Basically what I told him. But I couldn't get him, and that thing kept bugging me. And so I got an idea. So the sun was kind of coming in the window over here. So I went over, and there was a screen on the window. And so I pushed that window up, and then the fly was over here in the corner, and so I went back kind of purposely over back in the corner, and sure enough, the fly took out of the corner, and he went straight for the window, but he hit that screen, and he couldn't get out. So I went over, pulled the window down, and guess where the fly was? He was between the screen and the window. Well, I was not expecting this to happen. But very shortly, it was seconds, if less than a minute, I believe, as I kind of looked at that fly in there, all of a sudden, a spider appears. I don't know where that spider was, but he was in there somewhere. And all of a sudden, here was this fly, and here was the spider. And I thought, oh, and I was enjoying this. I sat down on the bed and I thought I want to see what this illustration is. And it was really amazing to me because that fly, this is what he would do. He would go and he would just bang, 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 and then he would stop but this spider comes out and here's the fly and here's the spider and the spider's a ways away and he makes a run at him and he doesn't get the fly. And the fly, you know, he jerks all around, and he can't get out. He's trying to get out, and he can't get out. And so I watched this thing for several minutes. And you know, that spider got real smart, real quick. He would watch that fly, and he would just kind of ease up closer to it. And I was I was cheering for the spider, okay. And sometimes I was like, okay, now, you know, that's what I was thinking, get him. But now he would move in and then the fly would go all crazy and he would bang around and he would go back over here and the spider would just calmly turn around and start inching towards the fly again. And this went on for several minutes. And finally, almost so quick that I couldn't even hardly see it, that spider made his move and he had that fly and that fly struggled for a few seconds. And it was dead. And as I thought of that illustration, I thought, that's sometimes how people are in the world. They know that things aren't right, and they're in between that glass and the screen, and the devil's right there, and they have nowhere to go, nowhere to turn to, and they flop around a little bit, and eventually, with time, the devil gets them. Aren't you glad tonight that we have someone that we can turn to? And as I thought of that, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And a very common verse. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. And it says, "And I say also unto thee," this is when Jesus was talking to Peter and his disciples. He asked him who he was, and they said, well, you know, the other one's this and that. But, and then in verse 18 it says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to challenge you tonight as God's people that we are living in troubling times, but we can claim this promise tonight that the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. There's going to be a lot of people like that fly out there that they're just floundering around and the devil's going to get them. But we as God's people, we need to run to God and we need to fall down and worship Him and seek Him with all of our hearts. I'm going to ask you a couple basic questions. Was there a generation alive when the flood came? This means yes, this means no. Was there? Very basic, yeah. Was there a generation alive when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Was there a generation alive when Christ came as a baby? That's right. Basic questions. Now let me ask you one more. Do you believe that there will be a generation alive when Christ returns? Amen. I am not going to say, none of us here tonight can say that. We would be a false prophet if we would say this for sure. But I believe that we could very likely be the generation that sees Christ return. The signs are everywhere. The signs are flooding in. And things are happening. And so I am so thankful tonight that we have a God, like a pastor friend of mine would say. He would say, God is on the throne. He's still in control. And I love this part. He's not even nervous. You know, as the elections was going on and America went back and forth between Trump and Hillary. And do you think God was nervous? Not at all. Almost could care less because couldn't care less, but he knew from the beginning of the time who was going to win. He knew who he needed in office to fulfill his plan. And I want to challenge you as Christians tonight, okay? I don't know if you went to the polls to vote or not, or I don't know if you voted on your knees. Maybe you did both, maybe you didn't do either. I don't know for sure. But I want to challenge you tonight. I want to say this in respect, but I believe that the church in America, because of the election results, has kind of taken a sigh of relief. And they're kind of saying, oh. Remember, it may not all be the way it appears right now. I'll be honest with you, I would have preferred that he won. But let's remember that our citizenship is in another world. It's in heaven. And, you know, when my citizenship is in another country, what goes on in the country where I'm residing at that time doesn't mean as much to me as what my citizenship in heaven does. Does that make sense to you tonight? And so, as we go through this weekend, and you choose men to be a deacon, Lord willing, it's a little late to preach on qualifications, but I believe that for that man and for all of us tonight, we need to be God seekers. If we're not seeking God, you know, if we're not seeking God tonight, then if you are here tonight as a father and you are not seeking God, I plead with you to repent. and to turn to God and to seek Him. If you're here tonight as a mother, as a youth, and you're seeking everything else but God, I encourage you to repent and to seek God. We are in the church in America, and yes, we as Anabaptist people, we are in desperate need of men to step up and to be seekers of God. Seekers of God. To seek God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. And maybe we shouldn't be quite so concerned about passing on the farms and the businesses and the large bank accounts. I'm not saying all of that is wrong, but maybe we need to refocus a little bit and make sure that we are passing on a godly heritage that is seeking God with all of their heart and all of their soul and all of their mind and all of their strength. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And this is kind of an interesting account. It's a story here given. Acts chapter 1. And this is after Judas had denied Christ. And he went out, and the Bible says he hung himself. And so they needed to replace Judas. And it's kind of a little bit of an interesting period of time here, because Christ had already ascended, but the Holy Spirit hadn't came yet. So there's a small window of that in there. And this is the window where this was happening. Now I want to read verses 12 through 26 here. And let's read this together. Follow along. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto the Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went out into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew. Just a minute. My print's getting a little fine. Sorry about that. Verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room and abode there, both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was to guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers in Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue, Acladema, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let this habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishop let another take. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And it says, and they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. There's an illustration of the apostles choosing two men that were both qualified, and then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. I believe tonight that God is very okay with us still using this same process. But I do think that we need to be careful with it. I believe that the lot is if we end up using a lot this weekend or not, but I believe with all my heart that a lot is to choose from the qualified and not to choose who is qualified. I believe that this weekend we don't do God a justice if we have some brother in there that, beknownst to us, is not qualified. So, I believe that God can show Himself mighty. He can show Himself strong. Maybe you're here tonight. I remember at one of my ordinations, I felt like I had like a bullseye on my back or something, you know. But I want to challenge you tonight here too also. If you feel a call tonight but you are not chosen, that does not mean that you are not qualified. That does not mean that you are not qualified. It may mean, and probably does mean, that God has another work for you, or not at this time. So maybe you're here tonight and you feel like, wow, thank the Lord we're not here tonight to replace someone who fell away from God. We're here to, down the road, replace a brother who has been faithful to God, and that's a blessing. So I challenge you tonight as you know, for those of you who may feel a call or whose name may come up and maybe you are not chosen, Satan loves to use those types of things to destroy us. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to look at an illustration here. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this is when the prophet went to anoint David. And as the prophet went, the prophet Samuel went to anoint David, it says that when he came into the country, into the city there, the people trembled because he came. Now let's just read here a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. It says, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the anointed is before me." Now here is Samuel, a man of God, and God tells him to go anoint a king to take Saul's place, who had not been faithful to God. So Samuel comes into town and he goes to the house of Jesse, being led by God. And I don't know who Eliab was, but probably in Samuel's mind, well, it doesn't say probably because it says when he looked on Eliab, he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." So I don't know if Eliab was a big, solid, strong man. I don't know. Maybe he was handsome. I don't know. But when Eliab walked into that room, Samuel said, "It's probably him." God said, "No. This isn't the one." Well, verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and, behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not set down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. And as I was preparing for a message here, this was one of the illustrations that came to my mind. How, you know, tonight, brothers and sisters, I don't know David's brothers. I don't know that it was necessarily that they was totally unqualified, but God said He had His man, and He knew who was going to have a heart after Him. And, you know, I wonder what those brothers thought as, you know, the older brothers walked through there, and Samuel would say no, and no, and no, and they were all through, and everybody had forgot about David, basically. And Samuel says, well, is this all? Do you have any other sons? And, oh, well, yeah, we have the young one. He's out in the field, and he's watching the sheep. I mean, he's nothing real great. And Samuel said, go get him. Samuel brought him in. I'm sorry, Jesse brought him in. And the Lord told Samuel, this is the man. Was David perfect? No. Did he make some huge mistakes? Yes. In fact, some of the sins that he committed, God said, your enemies are going to defile my name because of what you've done. And I hear people say that today. Well, you know, even David, if they want to make an excuse, they kind of overlook all the great things that he did for God. Well, you know, here David was anointed. And you know the next thing that his father told him to do? Go back out and take care of the sheep. And I think David willingly went back out. And he took care of the sheep. Later on, we know how he went in and killed Goliath and these different things. I believe that a man who is called of God is a servant. I don't know if David understood it all. I don't know if he probably didn't understand a lot of it. The Bible doesn't say, and I trust that he didn't. I don't think David said, now wait a minute. I've been anointed. I'm not going to go watch sheep out in the field anymore. No. He had been anointed of God. And every one of us here tonight that are born again have been anointed in some way of God. Some of us at different levels. Are you a servant to your anointing tonight? Or do you like to be served? My flesh likes to be served. You know, I like to be served. Todd, what about you? You, Dana. You hate it, yeah. I know you're too good. Yeah, well, oh yeah, we like to be served. My flesh likes to be served. You know, from a little child, when we were born, we liked to be served. I think my children are quite a bit like yours, and all of us were children at one time, some of us more years than others, but we were all children, and you know, guess what? When you were little, when you got hungry, what did you do? You cried. What did you do if mama didn't come pretty soon? You began to cry louder. And if she didn't come very shortly after that, you began to scream. Because you wanted to be served. You know, I never had any of our five children. I never had any of them. I never asked them, but I'm certain they didn't think this. You know, none of them ever thought, you know, tonight I've been getting mom up twice tonight for 6 weeks. And so I think tonight I'm just going to let mom sleep. Mom's been serving me for these six weeks, and I'm just going to let mom sleep tonight. No. But the problem is that doesn't all go away as we get bigger. We still like to be served. But the anointed of God love to be servants. Now sometimes also, There's this thing of false pride that we won't let anybody serve us, and that's not of God either. I've sometimes tried to do something for somebody and felt like it was almost a war to get it done, and it wasn't very, you know. But I want to challenge us tonight. Are we servants of God? We are living in a time that I believe that if we are not sold out to God, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, I believe that we are living in the days that if we are not sold out to God, we are going to be deceived. I believe we are living in those days that the Bible says that if the days were not shortened, every one of us here tonight would be deceived. I want to seek God. I want to worship God. Romans 1 makes it very clear why America is where it's at today. It says that when you don't give God His rightful place and you worship the creation more than the Creator, we are the creation. I met my boys at McDonald's for lunch today, and there was a paper there, and I picked it up, and here right in the page was two people hugging trees. We have teachers that are taking their students out possibly and into the woods, and they're hugging trees and they're worshiping nature. Some people worship the cross. Some people worship the agony of the cross. Yes, it's good to look at all those things, but tonight, brothers and sisters, I want to worship the man who died on the cross. I'm not a huge pet guy, but it's okay if you have pets, all right? But a while back, we did some work at a vet clinic, and I tell you what, they about drove me crazy in there. They would talk. I think people treat their pets better than they do their children. They talk. I mean, this guy would, okay now, Dixie, just settle down. I mean, you know, I'm going to give you a little treat here after a little while. And the one guy was saying things like, oh, now mommy's going to come pick you up after a little while. And daddy's going to come pick you up after a little while. And oh, now settle down. And I've got a doggie at home that would like to be your girlfriend. And, and maybe you can come over and visit. I mean, and they probably go home and tell their kids, be quiet. Yeah. We had a dog, had several dogs. And one time some of the children were young and I said, children. I said, don't talk to the dog like that. Do you ever have the Holy Spirit speak to you? I know you do. And about as soon as I said that, you know what the Holy Spirit said? You know why the children talk to the dog that way? And I said, yeah, because their mom does. No, that's not what I said. I said, I didn't have to say anything. I just do what that meant. My children talk to the dog that way because Dad talked to the dog that way. Oh, may we be seekers of God that leave a godly example. Joshua was a man of God, and we won't turn to that due to time and things here this evening. Joshua was a man of God, but you know, one day the Gibeonites came to Joshua. And it says there's one key phrase in there. And what's that key phrase? Can anybody say that? When the Gibeonites came and they said, they made it look really good. They said, you know, these shoes here, we bought them at Walmart right before we left. And they were all brand new. And now they're all bad. And you know, these horses and these cattle, we came from a far distance. And I mean, it was, these were brand new fresh ones, and look, they're all wore out. And this bread here, we just pulled that right out of the oven before we came there. And now it's all moldy and boy, they just went on and on and on. And they said, we would like to make a league with you. You know what it says? That they sought not the counsel of God. It appeared so right and so true and so evident. Just sort of like when Samuel, when Eliab came in there and he said, surely. God said, no.
That's one of the few mistakes, I believe, in Joshua's life that is recorded. But the longer I live, the more I realize that you can't always make decisions just based on what it appears to be. You need the wisdom of God. Just think what would have happened if Elijah and the elders there would have fell down before God and said, God, what about this? God would have said, don't. He would have revealed that to them very quickly. We want to be leaders like that. One more verse. Quickly turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh man, that's a whole message in itself. I'm not even for sure that the point... We put the point on the part that he says, be not drunk with wine, which is a wise thing. But I think he's really stressing also to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be led with the Spirit of God. You know why God doesn't want us to be filled with wine? Because He knows that when we're filled with wine, and that wine can be a lot more than just alcohol out of a bottle. It can be the wine of this world, whatever. But when we're filled with that wine, guess what that wine does? It causes us to say some things and do some things and act some ways that we normally wouldn't act because we're under the influence. I challenge you tonight, let's be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. When we're under the influence of the Spirit of God, we will go some places that we wasn't planning to go. We will say some things that we wasn't planning to say. And we'll keep our mouth shut sometimes when we were planning to talk. And people will sometimes say, wow, what's up with that man? You see, being under the influence of the Spirit of God changes and alters my life. And I challenge every one of us tonight, let's be under the influence of the Spirit of God. Let's be controlled, filled with the Spirit of God. It doesn't say just get some of it. It says be filled with the Spirit of God. I close with this story that I read a little while back. I believe it's a true story. There was an old man getting older in his life and didn't really know the Lord, but one of his friends began to speak with him, and we're just going to call him Earl. He said, Earl, he said, you need to look to the Lord. You don't have a lot of time left, Earl. I don't know all the details, but Earl thought about that a little bit. You know, Earl almost sort of thought something like, you know, I don't know how to look to God. And his friend did a really interesting thing for him. He said, Earl, I could get one of those chairs, but I won't. You can get the picture. He said, I'm going to take one of these chairs here. He said, I'm going to set it right beside your bed. And he said, I want you to imagine in your mind that Jesus Christ is sitting on that chair. And he said, I want you to just start talking to Jesus and telling Him your heart, just like you've been talking to me. Earl began to do that. Earl never told anybody. He just began to do that. Earl wasn't a church-going man. He knew very little about God. But Earl's daughter knew that Earl's days were short, and often like people do, you know, they didn't have any church affiliation, but she found a pastor and called him and said, would you come talk with my father? And he said, sure. So he came to the hospital, walked into the room, and never had met Earl before, and there was the chair. Empty chair. Pastor thought, well, he said, thank you. He said, you must have been expecting me. You have a chair ready for me. And he said, no, that's not for you. said, let me tell you something. He said, I've never told anybody this. You see, Earl was new in the faith. He didn't even understand a lot of it. But he said, you know, I set that chair there. And he said, I picture that Jesus Christ is sitting in that chair. And he said, I talk to Him on and off all day long, or however all He said it. He said, we just communicate back and forth. And he said, we have built a wonderful relationship. Well, the pastor said, that's just wonderful. And he prayed with him and he went home. A day or so later, the daughter called and said, Earl passed away. My dad passed away. He said, I'll come. So he came and met her. And she said, Dad passed away. She said, nobody was with him. He was all alone. She said, I think I'd went for some errands. I came back and Dad was gone. But she said, the most, in her thinking, bizarre thing happened. She said, Father was all alone. And she said, when we came in, she said, it's like when my father took his last breath, it's like he sat up and he laid over onto that chair by the bed. She said, do you have any idea what that's all about? And the pastor said, I wish we could all die like Earl died, in the arms of Christ. We read earlier, if you seek me, you will find me. Are you seeking him? Earl, just through a simple faith and belief, I believe, came to know God. And Earl knew that when he died, he wanted to be in the arms of Christ. That's where I want to be. In the arms of Christ. I don't want to see my parents first. I don't want to see my friends first. I want to see Christ. There'll be plenty of time for the others. I want to die seeking and in the arms of Christ. Let's pray. Father, tonight we have looked into Your Word, and God, may there be Earls here among us tonight that want to seek God. They just want to build that relationship with God. And Earl, in his most humble, unchurched way, did what he knew was best to come to You. God, sometimes we get churched and we just know how to do it and it means nothing to You. God, tonight I pray that we would seek You with all of our hearts. Help us to be Earls at an early age in our life, to seek You, to find You. Because You have promised that if we seek You, we will find You. You have promised that You will build Your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And tonight we want to claim that promise in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not a question of whether there will be a church, but the question is will I be part of it? So God, tonight, bless us, keep us, be with the rest of this service. We just ask that Your Spirit would come down upon us right now. I pray that the powers of darkness would be driven out by the name of Jesus, and that Your Spirit could work in our lives. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, brother, for sharing with us this evening and for challenging us to seek the Lord. And I trust that you have been doing that. I'm sure that many of you have, especially in relationship to this weekend and to the future of the Calvary Chapel congregation. I appreciate the thought this evening that we should be more concerned about passing on the faith than we are about passing on the farm or whatever material possessions you possess and seek to distribute at your death. And I think about passing on the faith tonight is really what this is about, because we are seeing the church being positioned for future ministry. The church does not end with one generation of ministry coming to an end. It continues, it continues, it continues. And sometimes we get a little nervous, we get a little discouraged when we see one generation of ministry come to an end, but then we remember that this is the Lord's church. And this is the Lord's work. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And so we continue to see the need for ongoing leadership to be called and selected and commissioned and ordained for the future of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that the congregation, the local congregation of the church at large, the local congregation has been authorized by the Lord Himself to raise up leadership, to appoint leadership, to ordain leadership, and to recognize whom God has already chosen. And I think tonight, as we often do at a time like this, of the occasion in the book of Acts, when they were ministering, it says, to the Lord and fasting, that the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work unto which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now that was for a specific evangelistic ministry, but nevertheless, the process is the same. The Lord gives the word, and the Lord has already selected, and it is our responsibility to recognize whom God has selected, recognizing that not every name that will be given will be selected. But and if you give a name tonight that is not selected, does not mean that you have somehow missed the mark as far as God is concerned, because we don't recognize that any one of us have all of the answers when it comes to church administration. We have a team, we have a body, and we collectively attempt to discern the Lord's will. And so I trust that you've been praying and seeking the Lord in relationship to this weekend and specifically in relationship to this evening. The process that you have agreed to is that we will take nominations this evening. And when those nominations are taken and given, received, we will, as a ministering body here, retire to the pastor's study and look at those nominations, compile the results of those nominations, and then give you a brief, non-specific report this evening. You have agreed that there will be 20 votes required for a nomination to move forward with an interview. And then tomorrow we will have interviews scheduled, depending on the results of the nominations this evening. And so we will interview those brothers or that brother or brothers and their companions, their wives, to discern their level of call, sense of call, and their sense of agreement with the church and with doctrinal positions of the church and of the Anabaptist congregation here at Calvary Chapel, and also their understanding of their gifting and the gifts that are needed for the office of deacon. And we'll be looking at all of that tomorrow afternoon with those who are nominated. Tomorrow evening, then, we anticipate giving you the names that will move forward, name or names, and if there is more than one brother that has come through that interview process, And we all are feeling good about that and discerning that this is God's will to move forward. If there's more than one, we would be using the lot on Sunday evening. If there's one, then we would be ordaining then by voice of the church without the use of the lot. As I mentioned, God has already selected a brother for this specific task. This does not mean that others aren't selected to serve the Lord in a variety of ways. And I'm thankful that there are many, many opportunities for us to serve God. Whether we're called to the office of deacon or not, there are many opportunities. In fact, I've said for years that there should be no spiritual unemployment in the kingdom of God. There is no spiritual unemployment. If you're unemployed in the kingdom of God, then that's not God's fault. That's ours for not responding to what He has called us to do. And that call is to serve. We volunteer to serve wherever God has called us to serve. And then we are called to lead. We're called to serve. We volunteer to serve, but then we are called to lead by the congregation working alongside and with the Holy Spirit, the Lord of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in leadership positions that are service positions. They are serving the Lord and the church. So in a few moments, we're going to take your nominations after a time of prayer. And a corporate prayer. We're going to have a basket here in the front. And after we pass out the ballots and give you opportunity to mark those ballots, you'll be given opportunity to file past the front and place your nomination in the basket. This process is for those that are 15, that are members, baptized members of the church here at Calvary Chapel, and that are 15 years and older. Now, maybe you would say, Brother Todd, I just don't have a name. I don't know who to put down. We would still like to have you participate in this process by putting a ballot, even if it's blank, put a ballot into the basket so we would know how many blanks, how many have just simply say we don't have a name. And that's okay. If you have sought the Lord and you really don't know who to put down on the ballot, it's okay for you to have a blank. But if you do have a name, we want to have you put that down. Also, we want to make you aware that there are 9 absentee ballots that Brother Dana will be putting into the basket. These are people who are not able to be here this evening and have communicated with Brother Dana, their nominee. And so when you see him put 9 votes in the basket, it's not that he's padding it to his advantage. These are legitimate nominations that have come from those who are not able to be here. Now, if you have, I understand there's a fair amount of sickness in the congregation, and if your husband or wife is sick, then you, by all means, take 2 ballots, and you may vote for them, providing that they're not able to be here and did not give a ballot, a vote to Dana earlier. When you receive those ballots, please hold them until after we have prayed, and then we'll give you time to mark those ballots, and then please fold them one time, and not more than that. At this time, I'd like to invite all baptized members of the Calvary Chapel congregation that are 15 years or older to please stand. And Brother Harold and Brother Sheldon will be distributing the ballots. Please hold these ballots. When you have your ballot, you may be seated, but please hold them until after our season of prayer. Also, if you have difficulty walking or are in a wheelchair or would like to have someone else, what we will do is at the end of the ballot process, we will come to you and pick up your ballot. So you need not walk to the front if you're unable. All right, I believe it would be entirely appropriate for us to kneel for prayer this evening. I'm going to just leave it open for several minutes that if there be someone that would like to lead out in prayer publicly, please feel free to do that. We'll have several minutes of silent prayer. If no one leads, that's okay as well. And then I will close in prayer. So let's kneel at this time. Father, we bow our hearts and our heads and our knees and our will before you tonight. And in so doing, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind. And Lord, we pray that right now you would give to us in our mind and in our heart a sense of whose name we should put on this paper tonight. And we do this so that we might be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we take this very seriously tonight. We take this very seriously because this is your church. This is your bride. This is your body. And
Lord, we've come to you tonight with a sense of yieldedness, both for the nomination and also for that brothers and sister who will be called. May you also create in them a sense of yieldedness, a sense of willingness. And even at this moment, Lord, a sense of call. Father, we would just ask that there would be unity here tonight. We would ask that there would be integrity in this entire process. We ask that there would be humility, recognizing that we don't always hear right, we don't always hear well. We may hear something different than what, or assume that we hear something different than what the rest of the church is sensing. May we be humble enough to admit that we do not have all the answers. But as we participate in this holy process, that we would sense the hand of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, in hearts that are yielded, minds that are renewed, and wills that are bowed and submitted to the Lordship of Christ. So, Father, would you give clarity tonight in a world that is full of so much unclarity, so much confusion? May you just give a clear sense of direction. And may we come to the end of this weekend with an amazing move and leading of God that would not be the work of man, but would be entirely the work of God. Thank you for giving us opportunity to participate with you in this great work. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
As God leads you, you may mark your ballots, fold them one time, and then we'll give you further instructions. All right, this time we'd like to invite you to come forward. We're going to start on this side, from the front to the back, and you may come through and then just file around through the center aisle and back to your seats. And then when this section is completed, we'll start here with the front and move through the back, again also coming front and then moving down the center aisle. And then from there, when this section is completed, we'll ask this section to come, and we'll actually just also come through the center here and then come through that aisle and then finally this section. Okay, you may come.
Okay. Are there those who are not able to come front that we should bring the basket to? Please just lift your hand. Okay. Yes. Okay, we're going to retire to the pastor's study for a few minutes and look at these nominations. I believe there is a song leader prepared to lead you in a time of singing and prayerful reflection.
Glad to take those, or even before, if you think that I might pick one that you don't want to sing. So, but let's turn to number 395. 395. number 453.
453. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine.
Selections at this time. Number 456. 456.
Encamped along the hills of life, the Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength rehearl. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Raymond.
446.
Time is filled with swift transition. Number 458. Mm-hmm. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to say, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Savior, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
I'd like to thank you tonight for your participation and for your input and for the nominations that we have received. We do have a name with a minimum of 20 votes, and so we will be pursuing that throughout the evening and tomorrow, and we will have a report for you tomorrow evening. Service tomorrow evening is at 6:30 again, and so we'll have a report at that time as well as a message from God's Word. Is there any other announcements that need to be made? Yes, we want to remind the ladies, I believe they're Dorcas ladies, right? To meet back here at the immediately upon dismissal. Going to invite you to stand this evening, and Brother Harold, would you come and lead us in closing prayer? Yes.
Thank you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your mercies again in allowing us to come into your presence because of what Jesus has done for us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to walk with you, to talk with you, to hear your voice and to follow you and to know you. We pray, God, that you continue to direct our lives. We thank you for your mercies on Art and Shirley. And we pray that you continue to touch and heal there, Lord, according to your will. And just pray, God, that you just continue to work in each of our hearts. We pray, too, for Larry and Esther and the family just now. We pray that you give them wisdom, give them direction, give them a real sense of your plan and purpose, Lord, as they discern what to do for treatment. Lord, we thank you for being with us this evening. We ask that you continue to guide us and direct us. Lord, that your name be lifted up. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.